You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore.
Bump Radio Tacoma, 101.9 LP FM. Today, you're going to be regaled with the mighty, powerful poetry and storytelling of Tacoma's Aisha McIntyre. Well, you've got something that you have written in recent times, I'm sure. We need to have you read some verse.
This one is At Integration. Little black girls pray nightly for transformation into Barbie beautiful Pantene and Flexin nightly. Prayers, little caged lights ascend, and innocence offends the ears of the Creator in little voices. Take back my face, Father, and make me over into white bread wonderful. Nightly, little lambs' heads bow and pray. If I can't die before I wake, let me wake free of this skin. I'll trade you my gravity-defying curls and twigs for your yielding silk. Father, take back defiance and bring me a permanent relaxer. Don't let my eyes be so dark that those who look on mine can see the depth of their destruction, but pry loose my eyes instead. Give me eyes like the blue of the sky or green grass. Little black girls pray nightly for transformation.
Quite a performance. That's a performance, Aisha. You read so well.
Thank you.
Aisha, was that something that you actually put on Facebook just spontaneously? Did you recite it?
So what happened was I have been blessed with two extremely precocious children. So and they're very young, almost he'll be three at the end of this month, and a six-year-old. So they're three and six, and they are just absolute sponges. They don't just absorb, but they also interpret, but they're still little people. But sometimes when they experience something new and it's really overwhelming, they have very, very deep emotional responses. And so I made the error of just watching too much news lately. And my little boy woke up last week and he was scratching at his skin. He was trying to scratch his color off.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was saying, no, 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 I'm not beautiful. I'm not beautiful. My response to that was to just bundle both of my children up and take them for a drive. Mm-hmm. And we did I Spy, and until, you know, we all kind of started to come back to center. And I Spy a Triangle, I Spy the Color Red, I See a Circle. You know, I just sort of did a tour all around Tacoma, right? We went all the way down Ruston, and we came up on Pacific, and I looked behind me. I got to a stoplight, and I looked in the seat where my son was sitting in his car seat, and I said, well, how do you feel now? And he said, okay. I said, you know you're beautiful. And he said, no, I'm not beautiful. And I said, all right. We got around by Tacoma Art Museum, and we have really happy memories of going to Tacoma Art Museum. And I said, oh, look, there's the art museum. And he said, oh, yeah. He kind of got a smile. And then we drove past University of Washington, and I said, are you feeling a little bit more relaxed? And he said, yeah, I'm happy. And we were right at that corner where you turn to go to the bus barn and the parking garage there for the bus barn on that side. And there's that apartment building that's kind of been, you know, kind of leaned to the side, fallen apart for a few years. And it looks like now they're trying to refurbish it into a brew house, like a German style brew house. And that caught my eye. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then my eye caught this big eyeball that had been painted on one of the boards to preserve the windows. It looked like they had just put in new windows. Big eyeball was painted in it, brown eyeball, and it said, "Beauty is in the eye of the beholder." And I thought, oh, universe, thank you. There is my gift. I read it to my daughter. I said, look, you know, that says beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And she said, what does that mean? And I said, well, that means that if you can look in the mirror and what you see with your eyes, you say is beautiful, then that is what you are. You are beautiful. And there no one but you and God can say otherwise. And I looked at my son and I said, what do you think about that? And he went, I think okay.
So Muriel came to your rescue, right?
Came to my rescue.
Looking into the eyeball of a great eye.
Yes, right. And so I was just thought, oh, you are something else. Thank you, universe. Thank you. The great.
Well, that sounds like it had a great resolution. And this is something that you expressed
on my Facebook Live. And I didn't like a grade that I was given. It wasn't the response that parents have now, right? Oh, we're going to go to the school. We're going to talk to the teacher. We're going to find out what the rubric is. We're going to get the chance to redo this lesson. I'm sure you can do it better, da-da-da, right? The response I received from my mother was, you must be twice as good.
Oh.
You must be twice as good to get half the credit.
Oh, dear.
You knew what that teacher was like. You came to me the first day of school. You told me that you had the feeling that she was rather tight. She made you feel tight in your chest. And we knew that she might be one of those.
Yes.
So you little girl, my love, must be twice as good to get half the credit. Don't be surprised when you get a C+, and you know you deserve an A- at least. But you do your work. It doesn't matter what grade they give you. You do your best to be the best. And they can never take your education from you.
When did you calm down to realize that you could be yourself? You seem very much yourself to me, and you can be at your best as yourself. You don't have to double down. You don't have to really go for it as though there's extra ambitious urges that you have to employ here. I've seen the video on your Gogspot where you were speaking with a musical group had been playing behind you when the one I heard.
Oh yeah, that's from a New Year's the New Year's night out, Tacoma night out.
But it was impressive, and I love that kind of event. I've also spoken, you know, with music behind me. It is so much fun. It gives you more freedom, because after all, you're not conducting them behind you, and they're not really conducting you. You've got to play with it as you feel it, right?
Oh yeah, it's very much a jazz situation. I have envied poets or spoken word artists who have been able to really, really work with a sound person, because once you get the hang of one another, you know, just like any pair of artists, once you get in a working conversation, artistic conversation, you can really create some really high quality work, I think. So that's something that I've always hoped that I'd get an opportunity to do.
Are you free to write poetry these days? Have you had any interesting experiences with sitting by yourself and getting some verses composed?
I get the chance from time to time, usually when I'm out in the garden. So a number of my more current things, I don't quite know how to feel about them, because they're all very much about nature, you know, just moments of wind, you know, crawling across your face, and
yes,
a bird causing you to question your presence, things like that. Much more gentle than a few of the selections that I pulled tonight. I think definitely I was I've been very affected by watching the George Floyd memorial and things like that. And that we've been going through collectively as a nation since Mother Nature decided to unleash something to stop the world. There were things that we weren't paying attention to. This is my opinion.
I think there's a world out there that's noticing a little bit more this time.
Yes.
I don't think that we are dealing with a localized or a national situation from the way the world has been protesting in London,
yes,
in Berlin, in New Zealand even, and yes, Australia and so mm-hmm. forth.
Yes, Denmark. I've seen pieces everywhere in every piece of the globe. And I think that it's a human phenomena. I don't, it's interesting because many of my friends have said to me, you know, I thought I was the only one who was feeling like everything was just going so fast. Everything was just moving so fast in the world. Everything was moving so fast, and you just wanted it to slow down. It just kind of, I had one friend describe it as when you're one of the little kids on the playground, and they don't have these merry-go-rounds anymore, but they used to have those metal Goliaths in playgrounds, right? Children would fly off of them and things. So I'm sure that's why they don't have them anymore. But when I was little, I think when I was younger, they thought we were made of rubber, basically, or it just kind of didn't matter if we broke a bone. That was just all part of growing up, right? One of my friends, she mentioned that it was like when you were one of the little kids on the playground, and the big kids, or like the 11, 12-year-olds, just spun that merry-go-round so fast, and you wanted to get off, but you were too afraid to let go because you knew you would go flying. And she says, I thought I was the only one who felt that way. And then we were forced to slow down. We were forced to sit down and stay in our homes, and something happened where we began to listen to each other, to the point where, you know, we were listening just close enough that, you know, when something this horrible happened, we all heard it and we all saw it. And, you know, it was just the timing of it, right? Because the Ahmaud Arbery, that had happened. The Breonna had happened. And a few other cases, I believe there's six other cases really that have occurred. And those two and George Floyd are the ones that are most at the top of people's view. That moment after it snowed like 2 or 3 feet and it finally stops and you go out and it's night, and so you can hear everything, you know, you can hear everything that's moving, right? You can hear the branches and the trees moving. You can hear just your shoes, just as you shift your weight, you can hear that, you know?
Yes.
You can hear the wind just, and we all saw it. It was not in a history book, you know? It wasn't a black and white postcard with teenagers strangely posed under a pair of dangling feet. This was not our grandfather's story, you know what I'm saying? It was our story in our time, in our technology, in our world. And people were like, wait a minute.
But let's hear you read some of your verse.
18 inches. 18 inches in which to sleep, eat, drink, die, give birth, relieve myself. 18 inches. But then the boat shifts and there is 12 and then none. Between the next person and myself and the wood upon which my back first rested attacks my skin and fed up with it, feeds upon it, sucking in my flesh. My flesh becomes and melts into the wood. Is this my burial slat? And the smell once human now is animal. There were children on this vessel, but they are gone, gone, tossed over, over, over the edge of the boat. Most went the first chance their mothers had to set them free, and the little ones, once they found rest in the ocean, buoyed up by the salt for a short time before they sank, after the terror left their little eyes, before they were swallowed by forever, after their arms and legs stopped trying, before the waves succeeded and pulled them under, after eyes and skin resembled more that of a seal's than a human child. The sharks growing fat off the sick and small, the sharks that lived off the flesh of the dying and desolate and lived in the waves cast by the vessel came. The vessel that would deliver us to a new hell, to be consumed by the mouth of man and into another belly. But here again in darkness and foul stench, I share my 18 inches, partially submerged in urine, feces, vomit, and afterbirth, I struggle to believe that red exists beyond blood, green beyond rot and stench. I struggle to remember lush hillsides and orchids, the heavenly smell of the grass after the rain has passed. I pray to any god that will listen. Deliver me.
Excellent. What a piece of history you've composed there. What a journey, yes.
And I think even especially people who are Caucasian and who all of their lives have perhaps felt, that was my grandfather. Maybe that was my dad. He was kind of a jerk in the 70s, but it wasn't me. I've never done that. I've never been a part of that. I've never been a part of that with my friends. I've always tried my best to be nice, and now somebody has lynched someone in front of me. And if I don't say something, I'm culpable, aren't I? And you know, that kind of mental moment. We were all still in our homes. You didn't necessarily have to encounter the black security guard at your work, right?
Right.
You were still in your bubble, but because of the way we communicate now through technology, hello, hello, Zoom, right? Because of the way we communicate,
yeah,
we still had the ability to reach out and go, hey, did you see that? Did you see what I saw? Did you think what I thought? Did you feel what I felt? It was just too much, I think, for a good number of people.
Yes, I think that the complacency, the passivity, the complicitness that has been so part of many people watching something that is sort of abstract, like a news program, This was different, this changed. The age of innocence, I think, is dead and gone. You cannot be innocent any longer without being culpable.
Right? And it also came at the same moment that we had reached 100,000 dead and not a word on how to mourn those people as a country.
That's right. So little talk of the 100,000. Wait till it's 125,000.
Yeah.
The silence will be deafening when it's 125,000.
I remember thinking that morning, how can we not be doing something today? You know, before the George Floyd video, went viral, before I saw that, I don't know when everyone else saw it, but before I saw that, I remember waking up that morning thinking to myself, we need to grieve as a country. We need to do something. This is Memorial Day, this is Memorial Weekend. We have 100,000 people who have passed in fewer than 12 weeks. This is just untenable. And then later that afternoon, I couldn't have been alone in feeling that way, thinking that way. And then later that afternoon, wham. And then the fact that Memorial Day was founded by African-American people. And now here we are, and it's Juneteenth on Friday. And he's going to Tulsa. And if you know your history as an African-American person, Tulsa was the only time that the American government has ever firebombed its own people, you know, and it's just one thing after another.
Right. The memories that come out of events in this particular time. But as you say, we're not flying around on an old-fashioned merry-go-round anymore. We are somehow in a stasis. We are stuck for a moment in a contemplative place.
Yes.
where we cannot overlook this recent history. And as you are saying, it does connect mm-hmm. with centuries of history. Mm-hmm. We are connecting with what has happened and often been forgotten or dismissed.
Yeah.
Because things just as bad happen closer to contemporary times. And yet mm-hmm. this is a contemporary moment mm-hmm. that actually repels you back.
Yes.
History of what has been and unfortunately perhaps was meant to be. It was deliberately performed.
Yes.
It wasn't accidental.
No.
Everything was deliberately enacted.
Yes.
And I think right now, the deliberateness, perhaps, is something that we are coping with as an act of terror that we watched
mm-hmm.
and had to carefully notice because it happened over 8 or 9 minutes of time with someone pleading at the same time, pleading. We can't overlook that. We can't overlook the abyss that we were falling into.
Yes.
In that time.
It was not somehow a crime of passion or somehow oops of judgment. Like, you don't oops for 8 minutes. Nobody does that.
It was a procedure of evil intentions. I do believe that there's nothing more can be said about it than the evil that was intent in that complacency.
So I have one that I've never read.
Okay.
That would never, never, never.
On Radio Tacoma, Aisha McIntyre reading for the first time here.
And it was inspired by Nina Simone's Sinner Man. I heard the song and the poem came out. This is called Sinner Man. Those of us who are doomed to hell are blessed to have been gifted with today. with no promise of eternal life, with the curse of our pleasure and freedom in our heads, we are charged with the burden of this world. We sinners must fight for justice now. For us, there is no promise of heaven, no promise of life hereafter. We are not the children, we are not the spouse, we are not the lost sheep of God. We do not obey. So, of course, we must have been cast out. That is what a loving parent does. No way back, but to give up the beauty. That is the full expression of the creation that we are. The full beauty of our humanity is not required. Only obedience, not thought. There is no thinking required. Just obey, pray, and wait. Instead, we are the eagle. We are the goat. We are so blessed that we change ourselves into the snake of temptation and launch with full thrust of our bellies against the stones of our oppressors. We are charged to seek justice now. Without a promised land, we must fulfill the promised in this world. Drag it from the ether and press upon those waiting for tomorrow. A promise that we would have them see today. Peace must be waged. Justice for my sister, whether she wants it or not, she will be made free to choose. Justice for my brother, who is without the means to speak his truth. His mind colonized. He must be chained and dragged to freedom. Be Sister Harriet's, by Sister Harriet's method. You have come this far by faith, my brothers and sisters. The only way you go back now is a dead man. For I'll shoot you dead before you take me and these souls back to bondage. I claim your power for us, for all of us now and forever. Ever. If it is a sinner that I was born, if as a sinner that I have lived, even in the service of my Lord, then it is a sinner I will die. Even as I confess my need for you, Lord, by the power of my will and by my hand, there will be freedom, there will be peace, there will be justice today.
Wow, the inauguration there of Cinnamon, as read by performer Aisha McIntyre in a dramatic performance that she says she had not read that one before. Hard to imagine, Aisha. That was excellent. Aisha?
I must read, go.
Read one more.
Yes, certainly. I shall read this poem, and it might be a little bit out of sync, but here we go. This is called My Man. He woke up early this morning. Early. He woke up early this morning like he always does. Yes, he woke up early and he met the morning dew. He greeted me sweetly this morning like he always does. Woke up early and was on his way. I knew that my man was on his way. And as the day was passing to night, I knew that his feet would touch the porch like they always do. And as the day was passing to night, I knew that my man was on his way home to me, on his way. As sure as the moon rises at night, I knew that my man was on his way. His big feet would meet the back porch, work boots would meet the floor, his low voice would meet the air, and my man would find his way. Dinner was ready like it always was. Kitchen was clean as it always was. And I was looking good as I always was. Porch light was on like it always was. I knew my man must have lost his way. Oh, the moon was high in the night sky. Stars were shining bright and sure. All the night was quietly panting. I knew that my man had lost his way. I'm bound to find him and fetch him home. I'm sure that he is somewhere to be found. Dusk has fallen and he not home. I knew that my man had lost his way. I took a lantern and his best dog. I took my shoes and his warm coat. I set foot to stone and was on my way. I knew that my man had lost his way. I waded through tall grass and walked sure-footed on. I held my light proudly forward. I looked into the blue-black night. I knew that my man had just lost his way. Saw the lights bouncing in the tree line. I saw the lights bouncing in the trees. I saw the lights shining brightly in the orchard. I knew that my man had lost his way. And my feet moved against my judgment. My feet moved against my judgment. I reached the tree line and my fingers met the bark. The scent of plum blossoms met my nose. I heard the yells of demon glee. I knew that my man had lost his way. And my feet moved against my judgment. I heard the whip crack and land on flesh. I heard the screams that would curdle blood. And in the red-orange glow of cross aflame, I knew that my man had lost his way. I knew that my man had lost his way. My foot moved against my judgment. I saw the knife slice at his manhood. I saw the blood urine raise down his leg. I heard his soul writhe free of his body. So my feet moved against my judgment. Oh, there were men standing round with the faces of devils. There were men all around, but lost to God. There were men all around screaming against his favor. I knew my man had gone away. But feet moved against my judgment. Slowly the rope slid around his neck, and when the horse moved, his neck did stretch, and when the breath stopped, his feet did kick, and when the feet stopped, his body twitched, and when his eyes bulged, the heart did lurch, and my feet moved. I knew that my man had lost his way. There wasn't time to cry. There wasn't time to think. There wasn't space to believe. There was a God to see. All the years that passed, he had come home to me. I knew that my God would bring my man home to me. And my feet moved against my judgment. My hand grasped the bark and pulled my body to his, pulled my body up to the rope, to the suffer of my love. Legs strained, but took me quick to the limb. Hands on his shoulders, my back strains to relieve the rope. At first, I believe they thought twice. At first, I believed it was water to douse the flame. At first, I believed they had remembered God. At first, I thought they had remembered shame. Then the smell of gasoline and the smell of hair aflame. Who knew that skin would melt like wax? Who knew that it wouldn't quell the pain? But I knew I had found my man. I knew I had found my way. I knew I had found my home. My feet pulled close to him. My arms clasped tight to his body. Laughter met my tears, and I knew I had found my way. Our skin met as one. The flame smelled sweet. Our hearts beat and stopped as one. And I knew I had found my way. And early that morning, carrying the blackness of night, our joined skin was met by the dew. Silence crossed the orchard. Silence crossed the field. Hound dog howling breaks the silence, and the truth of love revealed. I and my man had found a way.
Wow, that is dramatic poetry. That is a drama that you have composed. Wonderful. I could almost hear, at times at the beginning, it sounded as though you were channeling Nina Simone. You read in a lyrical way that had song in it. Very much I felt the song element there too. But powerful drama, Aisha. Powerful drama. I want to thank you so much for being with us for so long. We've got quite a lot of information in the stories, but we have some wonderful verse that you've been reading. A wonderful reading that. Very, very important stuff. You've Thank done you. Some really good writing. If that hasn't been performed before, that's really good.
My man has been performed before. I am currently hoping to try to somehow work it into about a 10-minute play.
Yeah, that's what exactly. It sounds like to me. It sounds much dramatic in that way. A pianist accompaniment, which of course is Nina Simone again. You know, she often had punctuated her verse with piano.
Yes, she did.
That will be worth working up and presenting. Do that.
If you know anyone locally who would be willing to do that for the little pennies, let them come on through.
Absolutely. A great pleasure. I really have enjoyed not only hearing your stories and hearing and also engaging, exchanging with you some of the matters of the current situation.